Saturday 19th at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Anyone who wishes to continue the update, please follow the same procedures. Check table to MCI. The Minnesota 19 locations, a special meeting Friday, December 18th at 7 p.m. at St. Louis Park Rec Center by Byron Dale Speaker. Call for details 612-551-1784. Please, all participants, complete your questions and you will receive a letter of the state participants, and each state must volunteer one participant as for me to give an update. Must have a fax number. This morning conference will begin with Simonette from Texas, the vice president candidate of the Greitsmanette American First Coalition. Cy, you're on.
Okay, thank you, Mel. I want to bring up a couple of things to begin with. As most people know, we have set up this Council on Domestic Relations, which is a direct contrary to the Council on Foreign Relations. We've been discussing putting out a newsletter called Domestic Affairs versus the Foreign Affairs, and I think the more participants we get, the better off we're going to be. The main thrust of the CDR is that we believe that the Constitution is a divine document, and we've got to live by it specifically. And let me give you an address for the Council on Domestic Relations. Everybody grab a pencil, and we need to get you folks enrolled in this program. It's the Council on Domestic Relations, care of USPS, Box 3362, Springfield, Illinois. And the zip, if you want to use it, I prefer you use the Republic, is 62708. Now, I know there's a lot of programs going on out there right now, but I don't know how they're going to work. I just understood that one of the farm things fell through the crack because the courts threw all their cases out. This program will certainly fill in all the cracks that we need to fill in, and I think it'd be well worthwhile for all of you to get on the bandwagon. We need a political party, not a party per se, but a movement that's coordinated, that is dedicated directly to and specifically for the Constitution of the United States. So I encourage you all strongly to write that address and get the information for the Council on Domestic Relations. Now, as most of you know, we have several programs going. One was the farm program, which I understood is not working too well right now. And we have Treasury Gate. And I think that, Dan, if you're on, are you on, Dan?
Okay.
We need to get some specific information from that. I think probably we've got enough there to give them information on Treasury Gate as well as detailed information on Cosmos. So with that, I think I'll put in my plug for the Council on Domestic Relations, and let me turn this over to Darren and Andy out in Phoenix. They're going to talk about Cosmos.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody aboard, and again, it's a humbling experience. There's quite a few more Jacks plugged in than we had the last time around, and there's a gentleman online. His name is Mr. John Quaid. You all heard me try to relate what this database system could do for the movement throughout the United States, and that's all I did was try, and I'm going to put a gentleman on that talks the language, and I'm sure he'll talk it so we can all understand it and be complete. John, you on? It's all yours.
John Quaid?
Mm-hmm. Is John Quaid on?
He's the son of our BBS.
Oh, boy.
He was busy there before, so the operator's going to bring him on sometime.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to know that he can
understand there and then put him out there.
Yes.
Okay, well then, we have to be flexible all the time as patriots, right?
Yes.
I'm going to introduce a super American first. Probably one of the finest patriots I know. Those of you that know me know that I appreciate people that have put their heart and soul in a project for a principle, primarily the Republic and the Constitution. I tried to relay where they were coming from, and not he specifically, but what he represented on the last conference call. And today, folks, you're going to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. And believe me, he's had it big time from Jackie Petrillo and myself and a few others around here, including my wife, Pam. The bottom line is we are all working in the same direction. And quite frankly, the intensity of the patriot movement that they found out through our activities that they didn't really know about prior to going public with us on the 11th of November has sort of blown their socks off. I think we surprised them, and they're sort of happy about the type of surprise it is. They now know we're out there. They now know what our concerns are. And with that, Mr. Andy Niccolo.
Good morning.
Hi.
Before I begin with a moment of prayer, there is a poem which needs to be shared. It is short, written by an audience who, in searching for God and finding Him not, asked the police question, "Who are you?" This was the answer. "Ask not of me, whence, or seek that which is all about. Look deep within. I dwell. I dwell. Not. I will let you in. I am as much of you as you are of me." I'd like now to give a small prayer and hope that you will join me in it. Our Father, there are those all over the world who are less fortunate than you. You've stirred our hearts, troubled our minds, individually, one by one. You've brought us forth today into a single network conference for some action, which is your plan, not ours. We pray now with one thought, let the truth emerge and be heard by each. Let your light shine forth. We seek our nation back under God with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, on a personal note, beginning with Cosmos, because a lot of questions have come in asking about Cosmos, and I'd like to address that. Cosmos essentially is titled and named Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing Limited. It was incorporated March 13, 1985, in Las Vegas. It has a corporate ID number and can be checked through the corporate commissioner in Carson City, Nevada. I'm going to give you that number. It's free, 1-800-274-2754. You may call there and they will tell you about it. Last Friday, due to some information that I received, I wanted to go to Dallas but had to go to Las Vegas to clarify a question about why we were not listed as a Nevada corporation. I went to Las Vegas first to check there since we were domiciled in Las Vegas. Telephone number there was 702-486-7382. We found that all the records and the cards of filing in Las Vegas had been removed. We know who did it and why. That is our government. The telephone number that I gave you, the 1-800 number in Carson City, after discussions with the corporate commissioner there, we found that they would be very happy now to reinstate us and identify us as a legitimate corporation in good standing. I really don't think they had much of a chance because I showed them our tax receipts and I showed them that we had paid the incorporation fees for the period of time. You may, if you call either one of the two numbers, find a non-confirmation, especially out of Las Vegas. The numbers again in Carson City, 1-800-274-2754. As of last Friday, they will identify that we are, in fact, incorporated on the 13th of March, 1985. In Las Vegas, the number was area code 702-486-7382. Our corporation was founded with one purpose in mind in 1985. It consists of three directors only. We are not associated with anyone. We can't be. The corporation was set up for the people. The assets that we identified, and we've had many inquiries about it, the assets of holding the largest and oldest gold certificate were placed in the corporation for the benefit of all Americans. As such, then, we are functioning as temporary, I guess you'd call it, trustee. We will not violate that trust. We have drawn no money out of the corporation. We have kept it solely for three goals: setting God, country under the Republic, and Constitution back into order and in our lives. A brief mention on how I got involved goes back a few years. Approximately 1900 and, well, I guess it was 68, I made a request of my father, my holy father. I said, let your will be done. I had had a most disastrous experience in the university system when, after working for 17 years, the system came to me and handed me a book that you will teach using this book. At the time, I was training graduate students in medicine, psychology, social science, education, and I was dumbfounded when they handed me a book and said, this is how you'll teach and what you'll teach and when you'll teach it. So, being an independent thinker, I handed them their book and quit the university system. They argued I should have my tenure, and I let them know what they should do with tenure. As a result of these two decisions, my wife and my family and I went on the biggest roller coaster ride of our lives. I met Russell Herman, who is the chief executive officer of Cosmos, approximately 1970. In 1971, we had serious discussions about what we considered the gravest problem in the country today, and that was we were seeing God being removed from schools, being removed everywhere. We were seeing the country being sold down the river. We were seeing our Constitution totally being ignored. We began checking and thinking seriously about what we could do about it as individuals. And we felt fairly positive about it. Our goal was common, but we didn't know exactly how we were going to get there. So we thought we'd better do everything from a full disclosure standpoint, truth-only standpoint, and how do we start? Well, the system was geared to one thing, money. So we went about pulling together assets and determining what would be the greatest single thing that could change the whole economic structure. And our answer came up simply, money. So we had to concentrate on doing that, and we had a gold certificate that we didn't think was worth very much, and we found out it was worth a lot. As a result, we then began quietly for over 10 years planning and putting together something that we felt we could present to change a few things. We went to people everywhere and found out their biggest concerns were, one, not jobs, but more importantly, they were losing what they had in terms of integrity, honesty, you name it, all of the above, which included their homes, their families being broken up, and the basic nut for it all was the Federal Reserve System, the IRS. I personally did a tremendous amount of research on the Federal Reserve System and found that in its charters, they cross-related to the United Nations, to the International Monetary Fund, to the World Bank, to the Arab Funds and Bank Trust, and they all had the same charter. About that time, we were beginning to see the downfall of the scams called Lincoln Savings and Loans. We tracked the paper trail. We did a great deal of work to identify who was responsible, and I was presenting information to the Congress stating very clearly that the charters and the articles of these boards, the banks and so forth, all had one thing in common. The shareholders were responsible for the shortfall, not the people at large. This irritated me when I began to look at the FDIC, the FSLIC, and of course what George Bush put into effect, the Resolution Trust. Then we took a hard look at how did they get their power, and naturally we had to go back to 1912 and discovered in the layout of the organizations that none of them in fact were organizations of our country, but were corporations. We went to see congressmen, we went to see attorney generals, we pleaded a case, which we didn't know what we were doing. We tried it as individuals. We went to the full Congress when it was in session and presented a mandamus from the people demanding our country back, giving all the causes of action, legal, stuff like that. And we were totally ignored. Well, that doesn't sit very well, not with us. So we decided then that we would really do something, and that was approximately 1985 when we formed cosmos dedicated to people and put the one document that really had enough financial clout into it. We did it primarily because we knew that if anybody carried this document, its security was insecure and it would be lost forever. The document that I'm discussing is the gold certificate that a lot of you have been asking about. The initial way that we looked at it was never to touch it. As long as you didn't touch it, it was a commodity under the initial U, period, S, period, D, period, meaning it was the only instrument that had any value whatever. The Federal Reserve system creates money, starts with its creation, leverages the creation, and forces you and all of us as taxpayers to bear the burden. That must stop. We worked hard for about 10 years to try to plead cases through the system using all the information we could in terms of legal advice and where we went and who we saw. It wasn't shocking to me, but it sure was an eye-opener to go into offices such as Pete Wilson, who was sitting on the Senate at the time, and have his major representative in San Diego, California, look us in the eye and say, we don't believe in the Constitution. I don't know, I spent 52 months believing in it very strongly, and I didn't like what I heard. Then every time we tried to present a legal action, we got the answer, that is not in our area of jurisdiction. I think I personally heard that about 40 or 50 times in 10 years. Again, we started to take another look at how do we weren't thinking beat the system. How do you use the system to really plead a case? We were rather naive in it. We went all the way through various courts and we tried submitting papers and all of us were ignored. The credibility factor was slapped into our faces. But one thing happened somewhere around 1989. We got their attention. We had presented a mandamus directly into the Congress. I don't believe it was 89, I think it was 87 or 80. Foley was the Speaker of the House. The Congress was in full session. One congressional member was in the hospital. I do believe it was Pete Wilson with an appendectomy or something of that nature. At that particular moment in time, we as a corporation realized that we had the whole Congress ready to receive a mandamus, and in full view of the American people on television, we presented the mandamus to Foley. At the same time, we presented a copy to the Supreme Court and a copy to the White House. The television station took a short recess, showed us commercials for about 20 minutes and a few blurbs. And at that given moment of time, Foley refused to read the mandamus. A mandamus means only this. It is the one congressional instrument that, if filed by the people, must be read in the Congress, if presented to the Congress and the executive and the judiciary. We failed. They totally ignored it. We were at a loss of what to do, and then something happened. We were sitting around, and it was decided maybe what we're doing is going about it wrong. Presenting it as the people, since they've ignored us this long, they will continue to ignore us as people. So we took another look at the corporate structure of America, and there was the little loophole that started it. We could sue as a corporation. We began suing the corporation of America. Again, we lost. I'm sorry to say, but we just flat out lost. They said, not our area of jurisdiction. So we took a look at where is the area of jurisdiction. There is none. The common law, possibly, but nobody was practicing it. So we had to take another look. The states were guaranteed a republican form of government, and the union is a republic of all the states. So now there we thought we might have something. And we began to take legal action under the republic. We had to identify Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing Limited as a corporation in the Republic. It went down to file the papers to do so. We had a resident address at the time in Nevada, and we were filing one in California under the Republic. I personally was told, I will not accept that filing in the under the Republic in Riverside County by the reporter. The following day, we took a look at what the common law said, and we came in with a sheriff and with a marshal, handed the papers to the court recorder, the county recorder, and it wasn't very voluntary on his part, but he had to accept the papers. We were now officially filed in California and officially in Nevada. We went to Illinois for one basic reason. We knew the New World Order was going to be established at an Air Force base called Scott, outside of St. Louis, about 57 miles northeast of St. Louis. That whole area was going to be identified as the center point for the New World Order. As a result of that, we moved into their heartland and established ourselves as a republic in Illinois. These things occurred. Approximately 1991, we took a close look, and we were now filed in California and in Illinois and in Nevada. And we took a closer look at how do we get recognized as a republic other than filing a piece of paper and paying some fees. We started considering approaching the White House again with George Bush et al., and they finally said, we will try to take over the corporation called Cosmos. We were filed as a corporation under the Republic. They did a neat trick. I do not mind discussing this. It is the truth. What they did in Nevada is as follows. Irene Pappas was the corporate commissioner in Nevada. She altered our documents, changed our board of directors under the state, not under the Republic. As a result, the company, being referenced our government, began using our corporate number, our corporate structure, our corporate officers for their own gain. They were leveraging the certificates that we had in order to finance their illegal and illicit campaign. We did not know about this at the time, and then when we discovered it, we went immediately to the Treasury Department in Chicago. We went immediately to the IRS and asked the IRS to conduct an investigation of, quote, how much money was going through Cosmos. It was an incredible amount, but we had never drawn, we had never put anything into the corporation other than the certificate and the original $100 deposit. So we knew that we were squeaky clean about it all. We called a conference with the company, meaning the government, and they came to San Diego and flat out offered us $2.4 billion, which to us was sheer nonsense. The corporation plus its assets were dedicated to the people of America and to getting our country back under God using our Constitution. So we did all of that around 1990. We had the meeting here in San Diego. They were all present. In the span of 15 years, we diligently created programs, and we presented them to the company in San Diego, what we would do and how we reorganize the banking system, the economy of the country, the stabilization of the farm problem, the housing problem. We went through them all. It took 4 days, and some of the days lasted 18 hours. I was disappointed that the company didn't even offer us one cup of coffee. And you know how awful that was for me? Oh boy, that was a tough one. As a result of that meeting, the most important point was the company asked us to take over the Lincoln Savings and Loan. We refused to do that because we presented the evidence that the shareholders were responsible for paying all the shortfalls. We came to a standstill. However, we felt very good because we made our stand, and the president himself called us, identified himself as Tom Metzger. I mean, that was quite bizarre. He then turned around and identified himself to one of the other board directors as Steve Leahy, who is very high up in the CIA. Regardless of all that, he did say in final statement, I guess you are Americans first. Yes, we are. We want our country back. And so we had the program, we had the money, we had the corporation. We began looking for a period of 2 years to get some senior citizens who had skills to be able to train others to implement the program should we be successful. Well, we didn't know how to become successful because the major stumbling block was nobody would recognize the republic. And all we had was a corporation registered under a republic. We went to Europe and talked to friends in Europe who knew about us and who knew about what we were about. Germany was the first country to say, we will recognize you. They did that about the time of the Berlin Wall. We had discussions with them as they were concerned about the new European economy and the new euro dollar. We invited them to consider, understand my statement here, invited them to consider, because the basic philosophy coming from Cosmos is we will never tell nor demand. It is your option, your choice. We believe firmly that the one thing God gave us to make us all individual is the freedom of will and choice. And we must begin to exercise it again. All voices need to be heard, but decisions must come from the individual. And Germany responded beautifully. They said, if you will hold us up during the particular situation of the transfer from the Berlin Wall to the recovery of East Germany, so that we do not have to get involved in the structure of the Federal Reserve System, we can pay all our indebtednesses and reparations in gold. I found out at that time when I was in Germany a very surprising thing, that Germany had been paying for over 45 years to all the members listed in the Holocaust something like a social security. I also discovered and have proof of it that individuals who were receiving this in the United States were receiving these funds from the Department of the Treasury. That was a little bit startling to me and unsettling. The Berlin Wall coming down only meant that those funds no longer had to be come out of the German people's pockets. So they were rather pleased about that because they could now spend that money in the reparations and in rebuilding Germany. As a result of Germany's actions, we were recognized internationally by several other countries, the last of which recognized us was England. That was a surprise. And when England recognized us, Germany and England both had asked us the same question. It was a very startling question. Do the people in America believe in the Republic? We didn't know how to answer them. We just said, well, yes, they do. But in our hearts, we knew from going out and talking to the people and seeing what they were doing, we weren't finding too much confirmation. It was a very black period of time and lasted a good 5 or 6 months until I started taking a hard look at the presidential candidates, not so much the candidates, but the people that were involved in the campaign. There was a lot of hope, a tremendous amount of hope, a tremendous amount of spirit, and it was very encouraging to me. Until we had been recognized officially in writing from corporation to the foreign government, we had no evidence that there was going to be a recognition of the Republic. As soon as that occurred, and that has been only recently, what was it, November? Got to hold it back.
November
11th. Yeah, around the 11th of November, and then shortly after that, bingo, is when you got the first notice. It was a fairly hasty notice about a request for cards because the Republic, in fact, had to be substantiated from the people. We did not realize how threatening this would be to our government, our existing government, because it was the one opportunity of an individual in our nation saying, hey, I am from a republic. I am from the state of California, for example, a republic, and I am writing to somebody in another state, Illinois, for example, a republic. That went outside of all the known existing system laws. The computers were not set up to take that information. We had to use the U.S. Postal Service, and we had to take a very close look at our Constitution and the structure of the government as it was intended under the Constitution and in the title. Unfortunately, the more we took a close look at this, the more the Constitution no longer existed. I personally found in California that in 1952 through 1954, our Constitution, our court, took an oath to the United Nations, and this disturbed me greatly. We no longer had an oath of allegiance to the country. We had an oath of allegiance to the United Nations Charter, and all judges and all courts were bound by it. This gave us the answer to recognize, hey, why were we always told not in our area of jurisdiction? Because the oath was no longer valid of the Constitution. The new Constitution was the United Nations Charter. We began taking a harder look at this, and we found that all the abuses and all the structure of the Constitution had really totally collapsed. So we began taking a very serious look at how do we reinstate this, and then the common law, the law of the land, became very paramount to us, and we began exploring this and putting together structures that could go under the common law. I owe a great deal of thanks to the work that's going on in Florida. Susan and her group there are doing a tremendous amount in that restructuring. She's sent packages to us, which I have not seen, but will be incorporated in what we're doing. Out here in California, I'm not in California, that's right. When I get back to California, essentially what I will be doing there is Cosmos is to present on a personal level, meaning through me, to the court system, something that we hope will reestablish under the common law through the Republic, the Constitution, one, the common law, two, and three, a new means of a court system. It actually represents something that will have sweeping change effects on almost all of our lives. The case situation that I wish to present now is one that is basically simple. It seems that the biggest thing that's occurring in the United States today is home and farm foreclosure. What we're attempting to do, and we should be filing within 2 weeks at the latest January 15th, because Cosmos enjoys input. We cannot do anything alone. The people have to speak. Everything has to be verified. The structure of common law is still not understood. I've learned more about it personally, but I feel that we must do this credibly, carefully, cautiously, and make certain that when we go into a court, which is the right court, how it is done, how the jury is selected, how the papers are submitted to the jury, and then what causes and all that sort of stuff, the legal part stuff, we have to include. We feel we're fairly successful as of this day, and we know there's been some divine-type intervention, because I'll tell you, when I came here to Nevada, everything fell in place within 30 hours. All the nitty-gritty things that didn't seem right just fell in place. Right. Admittedly, through there, I met a few people which gave information that distressed me. It took the common law and shifted it back into the system law. But within half an hour after returning to the home, we got further information which clarified a lot of these problems. You, all of you, will have the benefits of this work at no charge. We aren't in the business of putting together a package, no matter what the effort was, and then saying, in order to present this brief in a common law court, it will cost you $30 for the materials or the labor. I think we're beyond that. We've all gone without for many, many, many years. We have one dedicated purpose: God, country, Constitution. Let's not forget that focus. If that's the case, all of us do understand that many are in need here and everywhere. We can do this if we have the proper network. We can do this with a little bit more personal sacrifice, pass out the information, personalize it. We're not going to send you a boilerplate. What in essence we are going to do is send you just a case that we're submitting. We do not wish to send it out until we have finally gone over this first draft, put together all the input, verified it, checked it out, and gotten ready to submit. My personal time frame on doing this is no later than January the 15th. I would like it in the court, the right court, in California before January the 20th. Then it will be available to you. After we discuss a few other things, I will make some suggestions of how all of you can get involved in it. There are some due dates and questions that have come up over the past 3 weeks and brought to my attention. I'm not sure if I mentioned earlier, but if I didn't, I will mention it now. Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing Limited is not associated with anybody or any other thing. It cannot be bought. It belongs to the people. The input for its programs and structures belong to the people. We have created them. We are very open and flexible to allowing anybody who is interested or anyone who has a better program. We're not even locked into programs. We are concerned with what's happening in our nation today. One of the most critical things that happened last week is our president-elect announcement of the National Economic Security Council. The members on the National Economic Security Council are very surprising. I personally am disturbed with one of the appointees who happens to be a director of Goldman Sachs, the brokerage firm. I would like to share an extremely personal experience from a corporate standpoint. We were transferring money, approximately $865 million, into the corporation approximately a year and a half ago. A year ago last October. The monies were being transferred from another corporation that the Cosmos owns, primarily for the purpose of our using those funds to assist any candidate for the presidential nomination. And that was just to be the beginning. We went, as we felt we should, to every possible candidate that appeared to have a chance, including Bush. We went to Clinton. We went to Perot. We went to Boegreich. Boegreich never responded. Clinton was in a hurry. We had to go to Clinton, as appropriate, through the Democratic National Committee. The chairman's name was Ron Brown. At that given moment of time, Ron Brown took the information, because it held very proprietary information, including a bank and account numbers of the corporation. He took them to the first ward in Chicago. I'm not sure how it happened, but our signatures appeared on the document when they didn't exist to begin with. They leveraged the document to raise funds, and the monies that were raised from another project that was going through at the time went through Goldman Sachs over to Tokyo, back to Goldman Sachs, and we were able to trace a paper trail in 1 year from our stolen funds that revealed the banking system's illicit practices. I'm not going to give you the paper trail, but briefly I will say it went from Japan to Canada to Nova Scotia to England, Scotland, Germany, Brussels, to France, Spain, to Atlanta, Georgia, peanut country, and then up into Washington, D.C., which essentially did the following. It was following the BCCI scandal. Those investigations are ongoing. If Goldman Sachs is being represented on the Economic Security Council, it cannot happen. They have been leaked. All the banks have been leaked. All the banks to the World Bank have been leaked. The IMF has been leaked. What we are saying officially is this. The corporation leaned everybody based on two things. The government must pay the country's obligations which is the certificate.
One.
Two, the government must pay those obligations that they have to pay, such as the Lincoln savings and loan. America doesn't need to be bailed out. It has a financial resource in place, and that is a certificate that is available for them. It does not have phony baloney money from the Federal Reserve System. So the reason I give you that story is to let you know that a lot of the appointments going on, the system has not changed. The presidential office has not changed. As a result of our investigations over the last 15 years specifically, we know all the players and all the money that were ripped off from you and from all of us and given to, for example, former president, and I don't like to say that, former president Ronald Reagan when he went to Japan and received $2 million to take directly out of the Lincoln savings and loan. John Glenn in Ohio also received $2 million. There are propaganda in Arizona, right here, several of the congressmen received $2 million. Approximately 127 congressmen received $2 million from the Lincoln savings and loan. It was all covered up. It isn't going to be covered up. The investigations are going on, and they cannot stop them. What Cosmos is doing is pressing all the charges, not under the common law, according to the system law, because that's how they occur. Our good friend Henry Gonzalez has been adamantly pursuing this for a number of years. We have furnished him with tapes, with documentation, with letters, with bank receipts to show the paper trails. Jacobs is doing this in another committee. The House Ways and Means Committee, which consists of both the House and the Senate, and you may check this, know very much what Cosmos has been doing at that end. Primarily, we are not going to give up, and we have infuriated the president, we have infuriated the CIA, we've infuriated the IRS, and especially the Federal Reserve System. When we called it to the attention of the president that Alan Greenspan could not succeed himself because of their own bylaws, which state that it will revolve amongst their members, it also states that the Federal Reserve Board will consist of members that represent A, agriculture, B, economy, B, C, business, D. You begin to get the picture. None of them do. They're all crooked, illicit bankers, lining their own paper. So that must come down. This is paper money, and we have the assets under the commodity. This was their last-ditch effort, and that took place 10 days ago. They moved the third member from the World Bank, from the Security Exchange, from the World Bank, over into the commodities because they figured Cosmos.
February 19th at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Anyone who wishes to continue the update, please follow the same procedures. Text table to MCI. The Minnesota 19 locations, a special meeting Friday, December 18th at 7 p.m. at St. Louis Park Rec Center. Byron Dale, speaker. Call for details, 612-551-1784. Please, all participants, complete your questions, and you will receive a letter of the state participants, and each state must volunteer one participant as for me to give an update. Must have a fax number. This morning conference will begin with Simonette from Texas, the vice president candidate of the Greitzmanette American First Coalition. Cy, you're on.
Okay, thank you, Mel. I want to bring up a couple of things to begin with. As most people know, we have set up this Council on Domestic Relations, which is a direct contrary to the Council on Foreign Relations. We've been discussing putting out a newsletter called Domestic Affairs versus the Foreign Affairs, and I think the more participants we get, the better off we're going to be. The main thrust of the CDR is that we believe that the Constitution is a divine document, and we've got to live by it specifically. And let me give you an address for the Council on Domestic Relations. Everybody grab a pencil, and we need to get you folks enrolled in this program. It's the Council on Domestic Relations, care of USPS, Box 3362, Springfield, Illinois. And the zip, if you want to use it, I prefer you use the Republic, is 62708. Now, I know there's a lot of programs going on out there right now, but I don't know how they're going to work. I just understood that one of the farm things fell through the crack because the courts threw all their cases out. This program will certainly fill in all the cracks that we need to fill in, and I think it'd be well worthwhile for all of you to get on the bandwagon. We need a political party, not a party per se, but a movement that's coordinated, that is dedicated directly to and specifically for the Constitution of the United States. So I encourage you all strongly to write that address and get the information for the Council on Domestic Relations. Now, as most of you know, we have several programs going. One was the farm program, which I understood is not working too well right now. And we have Treasury Gate. And I think that, Dan, if you're on, are you on, Dan?
Oh, Dan's not on.
Okay. We need to get some specific information from that. I think probably we've got enough there to give them information on Treasury Gate as well as detailed information on Cosmos. So with that, I think I'll put in my plug for the Council on Domestic Relations, and let me turn this over to Dan and Andy out in Phoenix. They're going to talk about Cosmos.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody aboard, and again, it's a humbling experience. There's quite a few more jacks plugged in than we had the last time around, and there's a gentleman online. His name is Mr. John Quaid. You all heard me try to relate what this database system could do for the movements throughout the United States, and that's all I did was try, and I'm going to put a gentleman on that talks the language, and I'm sure he'll talk it so we can all understand it and be complete. John, you on? It's all yours.
John Quaid?
Mm-hmm.
Is John Quaid on?
He's the set up our BBS.
Oh, boy.
I was busy there before, so the operator's going to bring him on sometime.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to know that he can
intercept there and then put him out later.
Yes.
Okay, well then, we have to be flexible all the time as patriots, right?
Yes.
I'm going to introduce a super American first. Probably one of the finest patriots I know. Those of you that know me know that I appreciate people that have put their heart and soul in a project for a principle, primarily the Republic and the Constitution. I tried to relay where they were coming from, and not he specifically, but what he represented on the last conference call. And today, folks, you're going to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. And believe me, he's had it big time from Jackie Petrillo and myself and a few others around here, including my wife, Pam. The bottom line is we are all working in the same direction, and quite frankly, the intensity of the patriot movement that they found out through our activities that they didn't really know about prior to going public with us on the 11th of November has sort of blown their socks off. I think we surprised them, and they're sort of happy about the type of surprise it is. They now know we're out there. They now know what our concerns are. And with that, Mr. Andy Niccolo.
Good morning.
Hi.
Before I begin with a moment of prayer, there is a poem which needs to be shared. It is short, written by an audience, who in searching for God and finding him not, asked the leading question, "Who are you?" This was the answer. "Ask not of me when, or seek that which is all about. Look deep within, I dwell. I dwell. Not, I will let you in. I am as much of you as you are of me." I'd like now to give a small prayer and hope that you will join me in it. Our Father, there are those all over the world who are less fortunate than you. You've stirred our hearts, troubled our minds, individually, one by one. You brought us forth today into a single network conference for some action, which is your plan, not ours. We pray now with one thought. Let the truth emerge and be heard by each. Let your light shine forth. We seek our nation back under God with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, on a personal note, beginning with Cosmos, because a lot of questions have come in asking about Cosmos, and I'd like to address that. Cosmos essentially is titled and named Cosmos Seafood
Energy Marketing Limited. It was incorporated on March 13, 1985 in Las Vegas. It has a corporate ID number and can be checked through the corporate commissioner in Carson City, Nevada. I'm going to give you that number. It's free, 1-800-274-2754. You may call there and they will tell you about it. Last Friday, due to some information that I received, I wanted to go to Dallas but had to go to Las Vegas to clarify a question about why we were not listed as a Nevada corporation. I went to Las Vegas first to check there since we were domiciled in Las Vegas. Telephone number there was 702-486-7382. We found that all the records and the cards of filing in Las Vegas had been removed. We know who did it and why. That is our government. The telephone number that I gave you, the 1-800 number in Carson City, after discussions with the corporate commissioner there, we found that they would be very happy now to reinstate us and identify us as a legitimate corporation in good standing. I really don't think they had much of a chance because I showed them our tax receipts and I showed them that we had paid the corporation fees for the period of time. You may, if you call either one of the two numbers, find a non-confirmation, especially out of Las Vegas. The numbers again in Carson City, 1-800-274-2754. As of last Friday, they will identify that we are in fact incorporated on the 13th of March, 1985. In Las Vegas, the number was area code 702-486-7382. Our corporation was founded with one purpose in mind in 1985. It consists of three directors only. We are not associated with anyone. We can't be. The corporation was set up for the people. The assets that we identified, and we've had many inquiries about it, the assets of holding the largest and oldest gold certificate were placed in the corporation for the benefit of all Americans. As such, then, we are functioning as temporary, I guess you'd call it, trustees. We will not violate that trust. We have drawn no money out of the corporation. We have kept it solely for three goals: setting God, country under the Republic, and Constitution back into order and in our lives. A brief mention on how I got involved goes back a few years. Approximately 1900 and, well, I guess it was 68, I made a request of my father, my holy father. I said, let your will be done. I had had a most disastrous experience in the university system when, after working for 17 years, the system came to me and handed me a book that you will teach using this book. At the time, I was training graduate students in medicine, psychology, social science, education, and I was dumbfounded when they handed me a book and said, this is how you'll teach and what you'll teach and when you'll teach it. So, being an independent thinker, I handed them their book and quit the university system. They argued I should have my tenure, and I let them know what they should do with tenure. As a result of these two decisions, my wife and my family and I went on the biggest roller coaster ride of our lives. I met Russell Herman, who is the chief executive officer of Cosmos, approximately 1970. In 1971, we had serious discussions about what we considered the gravest problem in the country today, and that was we were seeing God being removed from schools, being removed everywhere. We were seeing the country being sold down the river. We were seeing our Constitution totally being ignored. We began checking and thinking seriously about what we could do about it as individuals. And we felt fairly positive about it. Our goal was common,
but we didn't know exactly how we were going to get there. So we thought we'd better do everything from a full disclosure standpoint, truth-only standpoint, and how do we start? Well, the system was geared to one thing, money. So we went about pulling together assets and determining what would be the greatest single thing that could change the whole economic structure. And our answer came up simply, money. So we had to concentrate on doing that, and we had a gold certificate that we didn't think was worth very much, and we found out it was worth a lot. As a result, we began quietly for over 10 years planning and putting together something that we felt we could present to change a few things. We went to people everywhere and found out their biggest concerns were, one, not jobs, but more importantly, they were losing what they had in terms of integrity, honesty, you name it, all of the above, which included their homes, their families being broken up, and the basic nut for it all was the Federal Reserve System, the IRS. I personally did a tremendous amount of research on the Federal Reserve System and found that in its charters they cross-related to the United Nations, to the International Monetary Fund, to the World Bank, to the Arab Funds and Banks and Trusts, and they all had the same charter. About that time, we were beginning to see the downfall of the scams called Lincoln Savings and Loans. We tracked the paper trail. We did a great deal of work to identify who was responsible, and I was presenting information to the Congress stating very clearly that the charters and the articles of these boards, the banks and so forth, all had one thing in common. The shareholders were responsible for the shortfall, not the people at large. This irritated me when I began to look at the FDIC, the FSLIC, and of course what George Bush put into effect, the Resolution Trust. Then we took a hard look at how did they get their power, and naturally we had to go back to 1912 and discovered in the layout of the organizations that none of them in fact were organizations of our country, but were corporations. We went to see congressmen, we went to see attorney generals, we pleaded a case, which we didn't know what we were doing. We tried it as individuals, we went to the full Congress when it was in session and presented a mandamus from the people demanding our country back, giving all the causes of action, legal, stuff like that. And we were totally ignored. Well, that doesn't sit very well. Not with us. So we decided then that we would really do something, and that was approximately 1985 when we formed Cosmos, dedicated people, and put the one document that really had enough financial clout into it. We did it primarily because we knew that if anybody carried this document, his security was insecure and it would be lost forever. The document that I'm discussing is the gold certificate that a lot of you have been asking about. The initial way that we looked at it was never to touch it. As long as you didn't touch it, it was a commodity under the initial U period S period D period, meaning it was the only instrument that had any value whatever. The Federal Reserve System creates money, starts with its creation, leverages the creation, and forces you and all of us as taxpayers to bear the burden. That must stop. We worked hard for about 10 years to try to plead cases through the system using all the information we could in terms of legal advice and where we went and who we saw. It wasn't shocking to me, but it sure was an eye-opener to go into offices such as Pete Wilson, who was sitting on the Senate at the time, and have his major representative in San Diego, California, look us in the eye and say, we don't believe in the Constitution. I don't know, I spent 52 months believing in it very strongly, and I didn't like what I heard. Then every time we tried to present a legal action, we got the answer, that is not in our area of jurisdiction.
I think I personally heard that about 40 or 50 times in 10 years. Again, we started to take another look at how do we weren't thinking beat the system. How do you use the system to really plead a case? We were rather naive in it. We went all the way through various courts and we tried submitting papers and all of us were ignored. The credibility factor was slapped into our faces. But one thing happened somewhere around 1989. We got their attention. We had presented a mandamus directly into the Congress. I don't believe it was 89, I think it was 87 or 80. Foley was the Speaker of the House. The Congress was in full session. One congressional member was in the hospital. I do believe it was Steve Wilson with an appendectomy or something of that nature. At that particular moment in time, we as a corporation realized that we had the whole Congress ready to receive a mandamus, and in full view of the American people on television, we presented the mandamus to Foley. At the same time, we presented a copy to the Supreme Court and a copy to the White House. The television station took a short recess, showed us commercials for about 20 minutes and a few blurbs. And at that given moment of time, Foley refused to read the mandamus. A mandamus means only this. It is the one congressional instrument that, if filed by the people, must be read in the Congress, if presented to the Congress and the executive and the judiciary. We failed. They totally ignored it. We were at a loss what to do, and then something happened. We were sitting around, and it was decided maybe what we're doing is going about it wrong. Presenting it as the people, since they've ignored us this long, they will continue to ignore us as people. So we took another look at the corporate structure of America, and there was the little loophole that started it. We could sue as a corporation. We began suing the corporation of America. Again, we lost. I'm sorry to say, but we just flat out lost. They said, not our area of jurisdiction. So we took a look at where is the area of jurisdiction. There is none. The common law, possibly, but nobody was practicing it. So we had to take another look. The states were guaranteed a republican form of government, and the union is a republic of all the states. So now there we thought we might have something, and we began to take legal action under the Republic. We had to identify Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing Limited as a corporation in the Republic. It went down to file the papers to do so. We had a resident address at the time in Nevada, and we were filing one in California under the Republic. I personally was told I will not accept that filing under the Republic in Riverside County by the reporter. The following day, we took a look at what the common law said, and we came in with a sheriff and with a marshal, handed the papers to the court recorder, the county recorder, and it wasn't very voluntary on his part, but he had to accept the papers. We were now officially filed in California and officially in Nevada. We went to Illinois for one basic reason. We knew the New World Order was going to be established at an Air Force base called Scott outside of St. Louis, about 57 miles northeast of St. Louis. That whole area was going to be identified as the center point for the New World Order. As a result of that, we moved into their heartland and established ourselves as a republic in Illinois. These things occurred. Approximately 1991, we took a close look, since we were now filed in California and in Illinois and in Nevada. And we took a closer look at how do we get recognized as a republic other than filing a piece of paper and paying some fees. We started considering approaching the White House again with George Bush et al., and they finally said, we will try to take over the corporation called Cosmos. We were filed as a corporation under the Republic. They did a neat trick.
I do not mind discussing this. It is the truth. What they did in Nevada is as follows. Irene Pappas was the corporate commissioner in Nevada. She altered our documents, changed our board of directors under the state, not under the republic. As a result, the company, being referenced our government, began using our corporate number, our corporate structure, our corporate officers for their own gain. They were leveraging the certificates that we had in order to finance their illegal and illicit campaign. We did not know about this at the time, and then when we discovered it, we went immediately to the Treasury Department in Chicago. We went immediately to the IRS and asked the IRS to conduct an investigation of, quote, how much money was going through Cosmos. It was an incredible amount, but we had never drawn, we had never put anything into the corporation other than the certificate and the original $100 deposit. So we knew that we were squeaky clean about it all. We called a conference with the company, meaning the government, and they came to San Diego and flat out offered us $2.4 billion, which to us was sheer nonsense. The corporation plus its assets were dedicated to the people of America and to getting our country back under God using our Constitution. So we did all of that around 1990. We had the meeting here in San Diego. They were all present. In the span of 15 years, we diligently created programs, and we presented them to the company in San Diego, what we would do and how we reorganized the banking system, the economy of the country, the stabilization of the farm problem, the housing problem. We went through them all. It took 4 days, and some of the days lasted 18 hours. I was disappointed that the company didn't even offer us one cup of coffee. And you know how awful that was for me? Oh boy, that was a tough one. As a result of that meeting, the most important point was the company asked us to take over the Lincoln Savings and Loan. We refused to do that because we presented the evidence that the shareholders were responsible for paying all the shortfalls. We came to a standstill. However, we felt very good because we made our stand, and the president himself called us, identified himself as Tom Metzger. I mean, that was quite bizarre. He then turned around and identified himself to one of the other board directors as Steve Leahy, who is very high up in the CIA. Regardless of all that, he did say in final statement, I guess you are Americans first. Yes, we are. We want our country back. And so we had the program, we had the money, we had the corporation. We began looking for a period of 2 years to get some senior citizens who had skills to be able to train others to implement the program should we be successful. Well, we didn't know how to become successful because the major stumbling block was nobody would recognize the republic. And all we had was a corporation registered under a republic. We went to Europe and talked to friends in Europe who knew about us and who knew about what we were about. Germany was the first country to say, we will recognize you. They did that about the time of the Berlin Wall. We had discussions with them as they were concerned about the new European economy and the new euro dollar. We invited them to consider, understand my statement here, invited them to consider, because the basic philosophy coming from Cosmos is we will never tell nor demand. It is your option, your choice. We believe firmly that the one thing God gave us to make us all individual is the freedom of will and choice. And we must begin to exercise it again. All voices need to be heard, but decisions must come from the individual. And Germany responded beautifully. They said, if you will hold us up during the particular situation of the transfer from the Berlin Wall to the recovery of East Germany so that we do not have to get involved in the structure of the Federal Reserve System. We can pay all our indebtednesses and reparations in gold. I found out at that time when I was in Germany a very surprising thing, that Germany had been paying for over 45 years to all the members listed in the Holocaust something like a social security. I also discovered, and have proof of it, that individuals who were receiving this in the United States were receiving these funds from the Department of the Treasury. That was a little bit startling to me and unsettling. The Berlin Wall's coming down only meant that those funds no longer had to be come out of the German people's pockets. So they were rather pleased about that because they could now spend that money in the reparations and in rebuilding Germany. As a result of Germany's actions, we were recognized internationally by several other countries, the last of which recognized us was England. That was a surprise. And when England recognized us, Germany and England both had asked us the same question. It was a very startling question. Do the people in America believe in the Republic? We didn't know how to answer them. We just said, well, yes, they do. But in our hearts, we knew from going out and talking to the people and seeing what they were doing, we weren't finding too much confirmation. It was a very black period of time and lasted a good 5 or 6 months until I started taking a hard look at the presidential candidates, not so much the candidates, but the people that were involved in the campaign. There was a lot of hope, a tremendous amount of hope, a tremendous amount of spirit, and it was very encouraging to me. Until we had been recognized officially in writing from corporation to the foreign government, we had no evidence that there was going to be a recognition of the Republic. As soon as that occurred, and that has been only recently, what was it, November? Got a hold of you guys.
November
11th. Yeah, around the 11th of November, and then shortly after that, bingo, is when you got the first notice. It was a fairly hasty notice about a request for cards because the Republic, in fact, had to be substantiated from the people. We did not realize how threatening this would be to our government, our existing government, because it was the one opportunity of an individual in our nation saying, hey, I am from a republic. I am from the state of California, for example, a republic. And I am writing to somebody in another state, Illinois, for example, a republic. That went outside of all the known existing system laws. The computers were not set up to take that information. We had to use the U.S. Postal Service, and we had to take a very close look at our Constitution and the structure of the government as it was intended under the Constitution and in the title. Unfortunately, the more we took a close look at this, the Constitution no longer existed. I personally found in California that in 1952 through 1954, our Constitution, our court, took an oath to the United Nations, and this disturbed me greatly. We no longer had an oath of allegiance to the country. We had an oath of allegiance to the United Nations Charter, and all judges and all courts were bound by it. This gave us the answer to recognize, hey, why were we always told not in our area of jurisdiction? Because the oath was no longer valid of the Constitution. The new Constitution was the United Nations Charter. We began taking a harder look at this, and we found that all the abuses and all the structure of the Constitution had really totally collapsed. So we began taking a very serious look at how do we reinstate this, and then the common law, the law of the land, became very paramount to us, and we began exploring this and putting together structures that could go under the common law. I owe a great deal of thanks to the work that's going on in Florida. Susan and her group there are doing a tremendous amount in that restructuring.
She sent packages to us, which I have not seen, but will be incorporated in what we're doing. Out here in California, I'm not in California, that's right. When I get back to California, essentially what I will be doing there is Cosmos is to present on a personal level, meaning through me, to the court system, something that we hope will reestablish under the common law through the Republic, the Constitution, one, the common law, two, and three, a new means of a court system. It actually represents something that will have sweeping change effects on almost all of our lives. The case situation that I wish to present now is one that is basically simple. It seems that the biggest thing that's occurring in the United States today is home and farm foreclosure. What we're attempting to do, and we should be filing within 2 weeks at the latest January 15th, because Cosmos enjoys input. We cannot do anything alone. The people have to speak. Everything has to be verified. The structure of common law is still not understood. I've learned more about it personally, but I feel that we must do this credibly, carefully, cautiously, and make certain that when we go into a court, which is the right court, how it is done, how the jury is selected, how the papers are submitted to the jury, and then what causes and all that sort of stuff, the legal part stuff, we have to include. We feel we're fairly successful as of this day, and we know there's been some divine-type intervention, because I'll tell you, when I came here to Nevada, everything fell in place within 30 hours. All the nitty-gritty things that didn't seem right just fell in place.
Right.
Admittedly, through there, I met a few people which gave information that distressed me. It took the common law and shifted it back into the system law. But within half an hour after returning to the home, we got further information which clarified a lot of these problems. You, all of you, will have the benefits of this work at no charge. We aren't in the business of putting together a package, no matter what the effort was, and then saying, in order to present this brief in a common law court, it will cost you $30 for the materials or the labor. I think we're beyond that. We've all gone without for many, many, many years. We have one dedicated purpose: God, country, constitution. Let's not forget that focus. If that's the case, all of us do understand that many are in need here and everywhere. We can do this if we have the proper network. We can do this with a little bit more personal sacrifice, pass out the information, personalize it. We're not going to send you a boilerplate. What in essence we are going to do is send you just the case that we're submitting. We do not wish to send it out until we have finally gone over this first draft, put together all the input, verified it, checked it out, and gotten ready to submit. My personal time frame on doing this is no later than January the 15th. I would like it in the court, the right court, in California before January the 20th. Then it will be available to you. After we discuss a few other things, I will make some suggestions of how all of you can get involved in. There are some due dates and questions that have come up over the past 3 weeks and brought to my attention. I'm not sure if I mentioned earlier, but if I didn't, I will mention it now. Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing Limited is not associated with anybody or any other thing. It cannot be bought. It belongs to the people. The input for its programs and structures belong to the people. We have created them. We are very open and flexible to allowing anybody who is interested, or anyone who has a better program. We're not even locked into programs. We are concerned with what's happening in our nation today. One of the most critical things that happened last week is our president-elect announcement of the National Economic Security Council, the members on the International or the National Economic Security Council are very surprising. I personally am disturbed with one of the appointees who happens to be a director of Goldman Sachs, the brokerage firm. I would like to share an extremely personal experience from a corporate standpoint. We were transferring money, approximately $865 million, into the corporation approximately a year and a half ago. A year ago last October. The monies were being transferred from another corporation that the Cosmos owns, primarily for the purpose of our using those funds to assist any candidate for the presidential nomination. And that was just to be the beginning. We went, as we felt we should, to every possible candidate that appeared to have a chance, including Bush. We went to Clinton, we went to Perot, we went to Boatwright. Boatwright never responded. Clinton was in a hurry. We had to go to Clinton, as appropriate, through the Democratic National Committee. The chairman's name was Ron Brown. At that given moment of time, Ron Brown took the information, because it held very proprietary information, including a bank and account numbers of the corporation. He took them to the first ward in Chicago. I'm not sure how it happened, but our signatures appeared on the document when they didn't exist to begin with. They leveraged the document to raise funds, and the monies that were raised from another project that was going through at the time went through Goldman Sachs over to Tokyo, back to Goldman Sachs, and we were able to trace a paper trail in 1 year from our stolen funds that revealed the banking system's illicit practices. I'm not going to give you the paper trail, but briefly I will say it went from Japan to Canada to Nova Scotia to England, Scotland, Germany, Brussels, to France, Spain, to Atlanta, Georgia, you know, peanut country, and then up into Washington, D.C., which essentially did the following. It was following the BCCI scandal. Those investigations are ongoing. If Goldman Sachs is being represented on the Economic Security Council, it cannot happen. They have been leaked. All the banks have been leaked. All the banks to the World Bank have been leaked. The IMF has been leaked. What we are saying officially is this. The corporation leaned everybody based on two things. The government must pay the country's obligation, which is the certificate, one. Two, the government must pay those obligations that they have to pay, such as the Lincoln Savings and Loan. America doesn't need to be bailed out. It has a financial resource in place, and that is a certificate that is available for them. It does not have phony baloney money from the Federal Reserve System. So the reason I give you that story is to let you know that a lot of the appointments going on, the system has not changed. The presidential office has not changed. As a result of our investigations over the last 15 years specifically, we know all the players and all the money that were ripped off from you and from all of us and given to, for example, former president, and I don't like to say that, former president Ronald Reagan, when he went to Japan and received $2 million, it came directly out of the Lincoln Savings and Loan. John Glenn in Ohio also received $2 million. And in Arizona, right here, several of the congressmen received $2 million. Approximately 127 congressmen received $2 million from the Lincoln Savings and Loan. It was all covered up. It isn't going to be covered up. The investigations are going on, and they cannot stop them. What Cosmos is doing is pressing all the charges, not under the common law, according to the system law, because that's how they occur. Our good friend Henry Gonzalez has been adamantly pursuing this for a number of years. We have furnished him with tapes, with
documentation, with letters, with bank receipts, to show the paper trail. Jacobs is doing this in another committee. The House Ways and Means Committee, which consists of both the House and the Senate, and you may check this, know very much what Cosmos has been doing at that end. Primarily, we are not going to give up, and we have infuriated the President, we have infuriated the CIA, we've infuriated the IRS, and especially the Federal Reserve System. When we called it to the attention of the President that Alan Greenspan could not succeed himself because of their own bylaws, which state that it will revolve amongst their members, it also states that the Federal Reserve Board will consist of members that represent A, agriculture, B, economy, C, business, D. You begin to get the picture. None of them do. They're all crooked, illicit bankers, lining their own papers. So that must come down. This is paper money, and we have the assets under the commodity. This was their last-ditch effort, and that took place 10 days ago. They moved the third member from the World Bank, from the Security Exchange, from the World Bank, over into the commodities, because they figured Cosmos...